Okay, here we go.
Something.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Something Cast.
I am James Hatton with
Podcast Rob.
Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year to you, my fine friend.
Yes, we are back after a fairly extensive hiatus. Just refresh the buttons.
Yep, absolutely. Took some time off. Got the holidays out of the way.
Oh, God.
Packed up all the Christmas ornaments and everything now. Well, some of.
As we look over at my tree.
And your army of...
Don't fuck with Charlie.
Charlie's.
I'll get to it. The last tree, like we had a tree in here that didn't, and I think we took it down. Like Valentine's Day, I think is our record.
Wow.
So this will be down before then. So anytime before then, we're still above.
See,
average my here.
Mine's already down and boxed up. I just haven't gotten all the boxes to where they live in between now and next Christmas.
The day after New Year's, so I guess it was the second. Wifey goes, "Do you want to take down the tree?" Oh, it's so fast. It took us so long to set up. We had such a wonderful time doing it.
Well, I mean,
I'll do it this week.
This is your place, you know. It's not like you have exterior outside lights.
True.
You know, they got to take down and everything.
Yeah, this is it. It's just a tree and a box.
Yeah.
Couple
I would have taken down the lights outside today had I not, you know, busted my ass getting out of my house today on my concrete steps. And
yeah, this is being recorded during Ice Storm 2014.
Yeah.
They're saying that it's going to get to in the belows this week.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And for all you sports ball fans.
Sports ball.
It is being recorded today on Sunday. Green Bay Packers have a... playoff game, wild card playoff game against the San Francisco 49ers in Green Bay. The temperature at kickoff with wind chill negative 15 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the coldest they've ever played in.
I'm sure. I'm sure that there was once where they had like the what is it? The sport that you like with the
brooms. Curling?
Yeah, the curling broom guys just to push the quarterback forward and he just slides across.
Yeah, negative 46 with the wind chill, I think.
Negative 46?
Yeah, they called it the ice ball. It was negative 12 regular temperature, but with the wind chill, it felt like negative 46.
Like, I read stories in elementary school about people who did expeditions in that and like they would spit and it would crackle before it hits the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, one guy died in the stands, and something like 38 more got frostbite for all the fans just hanging out in the stands.
And there was one asshole kid with his tongue stuck to the fucking bleachers.
Well, the refs couldn't use the metal whistles. They had to scream everything. You know, ow!
Lavi, come on. Come on, guy, come on.
Exactly. But,
the fuck?
I have a severe problem with trying to just differentiate between negative 15 and negative 46.
Well, no, there comes
you
a
know,
spot where you go, stop it.
Exactly. It's, what's the temperature? Cold.
Yeah.
What's the temperature? Fucking cold. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to feel the difference between negative 15 and negative 46.
Nope. And I like the winter. I love the winter. This sucks. I love the winter, though. But we have an episode to do, sir.
We do. And so begins our episode of desert island music.
Ah, so we can actually
kind of
warming.
Bask in the rays
yes.
of our musical choices.
I like it. I like it. And also this is one of those things where when you and I were concocting this show, we were like, you know, we can't just do movies and TV for fucking ever.
Right.
And so that's why we were like, Da Vinci Code, cool, we show that we know how to read, even though
sure.
it's just Dan Brown
books. Some TV shows.
But so this episode has to do with music, which I think is a nice change for us.
Yep. And yet it came as a shock to both of us when we thought of it. We're like, fuck, why are we 12 episodes in and this is the first time
then,
we thought about doing music?
Yeah, derp.
Exactly.
So we can add this to our repertoire of things to talk about. So this is the five... These are your five desert albums.
Sure. If you were stuck on a desert island, if you were the tail passenger on Oceanic 815, and you only packed 5 CDs, Adam's ready to beat me with a club because I keep going back to this thing.
Damn you.
It's become our pinnacle show.
That's fair.
That one show has lasted almost as long as our other 11 episodes combined.
That was the edited one.
Yeah, the raw footage will never see the light of day.
No. Under pain of divorce.
So if you only had 5 albums on a desert island and you were stuck there, what 5 would they be?
Now, one has to, because I've never seen a question like this posed that doesn't have, like, one asshole go, well, I have an iPod, so I have 1,000 songs. Or I have a crate of CDs. No, you just happen to have your 5. Only are going to get these unlimited fucking boombox.
Exactly.
This is it.
Exactly.
For the next 1,000 years, these are the only 5 the 5 albums you're going to be able to listen to until the big fucking tugboat comes and saves you.
Yep.
So, without further ado, I would also say that we had a lot of people over on the Facebook join up.
We did.
A handful of people who came in and they gave us theirs, so we're going to spot on theirs.
And I was very impressed because there's hardly any, if any, crossovers. Like, I'm looking through the list now, and not only do I not even really see any albums that crossover.
Not many bands either.
Okay, I actually just see one right here where two people mentioned pretty much the same band.
Okay, and you and I, funny enough, have one band that at the very beginning I was like, you and I are going to pick that band, just because I know us.
Right.
And that's the obvious one, but yeah, we have eclectic listeners, we're eclectic people, because this just runs the gamut here.
And I had a suggestion from another listener about this whole list, and I'm going to throw this in as a swerve at the end of this whole podcast. So I'm not going to give you any warning on it. Once we're all done and wrap it up, we're gonna go into our phase 2.
How Shyamalanian of you!
It is, yeah. Very Marvel Universe here, and we're gonna MCU it and bring the phase 2 into play at the end of the podcast.
Ah, very good. Album 616.
Yes.
So shall we start with me, or shall we start with you, or shall we start with our joined love of this band? I think.
Is it the one that I think of?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
It's clear.
Oh, and oddly enough, that's the one that you had. Okay, sure. Let's start with that one.
Yeah, because this one is the one where, and I think you said the same thing when we were talking just a little bit before the show. We didn't want to do. We both looked at this and went, we shouldn't do greatest hits.
Yeah, I didn't want to put this as a caveat out there. On the Facebook page
and say no
greatest hits. But personally, for me, I know there are greatest hits collections out there that are like 19 CDs worth of music on a greatest hits. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to try to stay as pure as I can, and I'm just going to go with albums that aren't collections or greatest hits or, you know, number one hits or something like that.
The listeners. They're the listeners.
Sure.
We're the professionals, sir. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard than the plebeians.
Duh.
So mine, Queen, I think, is the album, is the band, rather, I should say.
Just realized you said plebeians.
The proles that listen to us beneath us on
the serfs. Yes, we both do have a Queen album.
Yeah, which really, we're both, we met at a Renaissance festival. Shocker.
Yeah. Hello.
I'm surprised we both don't have a Manowar album.
Yeah, right?
And a Meatloaf album. I had to cut my Meatloaf album out.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't own a Meatloaf album.
Mm. It's the same 5 songs over 8 albums. But mine is The Game.
Great album. We were actually just talking before the show when I was talking about how hard it was for me to pick a Queen album. I almost went with The Game because it's the first Queen tape that I purchased myself.
Yeah, and it was one of the, aside from, like, I was raised on Queen with my brothers and sisters, and aside from greatest hits albums, The Game was the one that was played.
Right.
There was that, and, I mean, I'm sure they also played, like, Sheer Heart Attack and things like that, but
sure.
This was the one I remember distinctly. I remember the long-form version of Play the Game.
Yep.
I remember Sail Away, Sweet Sister.
Great song.
It's and I said Sail Away, Sweet Sister is, like, legitimately probably my favorite, we'll call it a deep cut of Queen.
Right, yep.
It's the one that, you know, if you only know the classic and the greatest hits, probably don't know Sail Away, Sweet Sister.
Right.
Love that song. And,
yep.
I mean, Yeah, there's a couple. I don't want to say there's any stinkaroos, but there's a couple like Murphs in here. But
yeah, there are definitely weaker songs. I mean, I was talking about Dragon Attack is not a great song.
No, but it's
a fun song. Yeah. There's a lot of just rough, brutal guitar riffs on there, which is kind of cool.
But you also get Save Me and Crazy Little Thing Called Love in there. Oh, and the only number one hit they ever had, which was Bite the Dust.
Yep. Now, is this... I'm not entirely sure,
please.
So don't quote me after the Serrano Deep Space Nine debacle. I'm not carving anything. I'm not carving anything in stone.
Fuck you, Jobu.
I don't. It's either Crazy Little Thing Called Love or Another One Bites the Dust.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this was the first album that one of those two appeared on. Because I know they have a lot of carryover songs where, they have a song, you know, that's on their first album, their fifth album, their seventh album,
Another
their
one
tenth
bites
album,
the dust.
And their greatest hits. So, but I knew it was one of those two kind of premiered on this album.
Yeah, it was the only album that reached number one, if I can use my wikiing power. But it was, Another One Bites the Dust was featured here.
It's a great all-around album.
You go from Play the Game, which is... was probably, and I've go over the years, I've had like my favorite Queen song,
mm-hmm.
and it's changed. Play the Game is probably the one I've gone back to the most. It's a pure rockin' song, and the Brian May guitar in the extended version, and the one that's on the album, is it blows the greatest hits one away.
Yeah. No, absolutely, I agree.
So then you have Dragon Attack, which is, all right, you get through it, and then right into Another One Bites the Dust. Fuck, I'm set for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And then you end the song, Save Me is the last song on there. I mean, that's just like...
And that's just pure, pure Mercury Fury, if you will. Mercury Fury.
Good stuff.
So then we move to yours.
Touching on
a hard
the,
one for me to not pick two.
Touching on the, like I said, I had the game on there until, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking and I'm looking at the playlists and I'm remembering them, how many times did I have each one of these on in my car and for how many weeks did they not come out of the CD player kind of thing? And it's funny that you mentioned, we both worked at, Renaissance festivals in the past. My choice for a Queen album is the de facto unwritten soundtrack to the original Highlander movie, A Kind of Magic, which I think, everything but two or three songs on this album was used in the movie.
Yeah, it's...
But it's one of those, it's another one of those songs where it's just a great playlist. I mean, you've got, Princess of the Universe. You've got It's a Kind of Magic. Friends Will Be Friends, which I happen to like. Forever, great song. Very,
Forever's a great song.
Yeah. Very, very heartstring-tugging kind of song.
God.
Almost in the vein of The Show Must Go On. It's just got that kind of slightly minor key to it and the whole orchestra backing it up.
I think the weakest, maybe looking at this, the weakest one might be, Don't Lose Your Head.
Yeah. You're probably right because Don't Lose Your Head. There's not a whole lot of lyrical.
No,
in
there. Don't Lose Your Head. Don't Lose Your Way.
It's a lot of audio clips from the movie interspersed into the music.
But then, Give Me the Prize is another one of those secret gems of.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love everybody. I think
the prize.
Exactly.
Such a great.
Because it's just got Clancy Brown quotes peppered through it.
And Freddie Mercury just screaming white hot metal.
Oh
just
yeah.
Give me the prize.
Damn right.
The prize.
And Brian May making his fucking guitar sound like a bagpipe.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
I got a lot of friends out there who absolutely hate and loathe bagpipers, but you know what? I don't give a fuck.
I remember the first time I played that one for one of the ladies whom I've hung out with in the past, and I was just like, listen to this. Brian May makes a fucking guitar sound like a goddamn bagpipe.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were many years, that this, I put the CD in my car on a Monday, and it didn't come out for 3 weeks. Wherever we went, that was what we listened to.
Because we're nerds.
Exactly. This song again, Bullwinkle. That's what it was.
Very good. So that's the Queen segment of our. Not for nothing. I think we could legitimately do just a Queen episode. We both know our Mercury pretty well.
We probably could. We'll have to put that on the docket.
Yeah, we'll put it on the docket. Maybe if the listeners want to hear us talk about Queen, and I'm editing right now. You can't see this, Rob. You can't see this at all.
I'm sitting next to you and I can't see it.
I'm editing the show. And there's a bed right now of Queen playing. How fantastic is this?
What?
Yeah. You can't hear it. But the audience right now is listening to just a little bit of Queen. It's great. It's a kind of magic.
Oh, you fuck. Oh, you made me laugh till my knee hurt again.
Wonderful. All right, so to slide over to something else, I guess we'll go with, jump back over to me, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll go with my it's probably the, you want to know what? That is the most recent album on my list here, and it's from like 2001, 2002 maybe.
Okay.
So it's the ska, my ska album. I needed at least one ska or punk album on there, so I went with Real Big Fish.
Oh.
Turn the Radio Off.
Nice.
Which is Sellout, which is the or Beer were the two big hits off that one.
Yep.
And that one was in my CD player forever. I saw them like, I think I saw them do that on in concert 3-4 times, just like that tour.
I gotta tell you, I was never a huge ska fan.
Right.
I think everybody kind of got into Sublime when Sublime was kind of
sure,
big.
Sure, most definitely. And 311 to some degree.
Right. I was never really into Real Big Fish.
As a note, there are ska fans out there going, you mentioned 311 talking about ska. We will destroy you. Big no-no for ska fans. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, no.
I became a Real Big Fish fan when I bought the soundtrack to Basketball.
Basketball. Yeah, that was their breakout.
They're just fucking funny. I mean, and you have other ones. What was the other one? Cherry Poppin' Daddies were kind of ska-ish.
Oh, yeah. They're in that swing
like
ska.
Like ska swing.
Mm-hmm. St. Ferris.
What was the other one? There's another group. I can't think of who the name of the group is killing me right now. But they did a song. They did Detroit Rock City on the Kiss Your Ass or Kiss My Ass Kiss tribute.
Okay.
Album.
I can look it up.
I'm going to hear them and you're all going to kill me and
I'm going to go
kick myself.
I didn't know. It's going to be, you want to know what? It's going to
exactly.
be Real Big Fish.
No, it's not. I know it's not Real Big Fish. And we're going to do
Kiss My
this.
Ass?
Yes. We're doing this while we still have the record button pressed.
Fuck it.
Last button. Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Oh, yeah, of course, the Boss Tones.
Yeah, yeah. They're very ska-ish.
Were probably, if Real Big Fish is, it's a tie between which one of those were the ska band that made it the biggest.
Right.
Like, it's pretty much it. You know, you have your Boss Tones and you have Real Big Fish.
Yeah.
I could list off another, like, half a dozen other good ska bands or fusion ska, whatever the hell you want to get
sure.
into. But yeah, Boss Tones with their, you know, Knock on Wood. And
that was the song I was trying to, I couldn't get into my head.
And Sellout from Real Big Fish were
yeah,
your
yeah.
two,
yeah,
well, they also had that Take on Me.
Yeah, which
yeah.
is what killed it for me, because that is just hysterical.
It's brilliant. It's when you hear it, you go, holy shit, this song could be done that way.
Yeah, exactly. But the video for that is really good, too.
Oh, yeah. One thing I love about Real Big Fish, it was rough for me because they have two albums. The first one is, which is Turn the Radio Off. They have a couple others before and after. But the next one they have is called Why Do We Rock So Hard? And
mm-hmm.
it's more metal than it is ska.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot more hard rock, but it's a punchline. The whole album is about how, we turn the radio off, they made a lot of commercial money. They
right.
made tons of commercial money. And so when they tried to go back to being just a regular old Joe ska band, going to the clubs and doing ska music,
right,
like
right.
The hardcore ska fans were like, fuck you guys.
Right, right.
So they wrote a whole, more or less a hard rock heavy metal album saying fuck you to the fans.
Nice.
Excellent shit. It's the Why Do We Rock So Hard? And it's just basically, we're rich, bitches. And then their next album is like, we're broke.
Nice.
They just have this narrative of just being assholes. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I Turn the Radio Off from top to bottom, could listen to every single one of those tracks. Scott Tanick is in there, and Scott Zadork, and the Legacy of Peter Bones, which is just their instrumental, which makes no sense whatsoever. But highly recommended if you're looking to like dive into your ska pit.
Very cool. Yeah, I may have to check that out. And we recommend you guys do as well.
As well you should.
As well you should.
Who do you want to go with?
Let me see.
With,
where
Sarah?
Are we going to go with? I'm going to go with the first one on my list.
All right.
It's when I was coming out of high school, going into college, I was going through my kind of 60s music phase.
I was surprised to see this one here, but...
And I fell in love with a band named Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the albums that they have...
I was about to say it's my favorite verb. I'm sorry.
Disraeli Gears, I have to say, probably, for me, the finest album that they've put out. There are a couple of very popular songs that they've done that do not fall on this album, but almost every other song on this album is on, like, a greatest hit CD of theirs somewhere.
It's just
a fantastic list of songs. Strange Brew, Sunshine of Your Love, I mean, iconic song right there.
Those are the two I knew off the top of my head. All the other ones, I'm like, I never listened to this album when I was a kid.
Tales of Brave Ulysses, great song. Take It Back, great song. Mother's Lament is just funny. It's them getting all, like, cockney and singing, like, over just a piano. Well, no, because Clapton was part of it, right? Clapton.
Oh, you're right. Clapton was part of Cream.
Yeah. But the song is like, you know, a mother was washing a baby one night, and it's just them singing this whole goof.
It sounds almost Beatles-y.
Yeah. This whole goof little thing over just, you know, a piano, and it almost sounded like they were taking a break during their recording, and they started singing it as a goof, and then one of them realized that the light was on, so they just kind of like played it a little bit bigger and finished the whole thing out with a real big finish at the end, but. Great song by a great band. So I can listen to this over and over and over again.
All right. Yeah. I don't think I ever listened to, like, I never really got into Cream. Like, I had my 60s phase too, but my 60s phase was a lot more like, let me, like, get into all the Beatles and the Doors and, like, the classic, like, the standards.
Sure.
Some of the Stones. I never did Cream.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that seventh song is
Swalobber?
Yeah. She Walks Like a Bearded Rainbow. That's what that stands for.
All right.
Swalobber.
Swalobber.
Yep. That's how they wrote it, S-W-L-A-R, S-W-L-A-B-R.
Fair enough. Before we jump back to ours, why don't we just go run through, like, one person on the Facebook's top five?
I love that idea. We're going to pick up, who are we going to go here with? We're going to go with...
And then we'll judge them.
Let's go, we're going to go with Kibby here.
All right.
Kibby has the band Muse.
With Harp.
Yep. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Adele, 21. Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory, and Tori Amos, Boys for Pele.
Me and Kibby don't listen to the same music.
I'm not a huge Adele or Linkin Park fan, but I know enough of their music to say, you know what, if Kibby was stranded on the other side of the island, I would not necessarily hate it when her radio was too loud.
No, and the hybrid, and it would be actually the Linkin Park album and the Muse album, both of them, I'm like, I could jive to them, all right, whatever. It's, me and Tori got a bad relationship.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Yeah, I got a couple, there's a couple of, like, when I was, those formative year female singers.
Oh, okay.
That it's, and it has a lot to do with the people you hung out with at the time, like Tori Amos, what's her face, Ani DeFranco.
Okay.
Like, I love the Indigo Girls, funny enough, but I can't get down with that era of very, very empowered female singer. Not because I don't love female vocalists. I love female vocalists. There's just something about, like, I can't listen to how many songs you can write about the rag. I just can't.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's me.
You know, we're gonna do another one of these real quick.
Sure, please.
And then we'll go back and do a couple of ours and we'll kind of intersperse these.
Yeah,
let's take a look at Eric here. Eric has Quadrophenia by The Who.
Mm-hmm.
Rubber Soul by The Beatles. That's another band where, I mean, take your pick. There's almost too many albums.
Well,
you know?
it says a lot about us versus our audience that we don't have any Beatles, and there's like three or four that have Beatles tracks, Beatles book, Beatles albums. They should.
I got to tell you, it's tough for me. I almost had Sgt. Pepper's on mine, but
that would be the one I would have picked too.
It's again when it comes down to five. You know, knowing how my brain works and what my CD, the CD collection I used to own and carry around in my car, I always used to joke, if anybody ever broke into my car and stole my CD collection, they were going to hate 80% of it. And it wouldn't matter what kind of music you listened to, you were going to hate 80% of it. Because I ran the gamut from Jimmy Buffett to Spyro Gyra to Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, if it was printed...
You had the Fushnikins album, sir?
No, I had his individual, You Can't Stop the Rain.
Oh, I surely can.
Yeah. Hey, when you're doing the whole Columbia CD Club... and you got to pick 20, and you only got 18 on there, and you're like, fuck, I got to get my pennies worth. I need two more albums. Fine. You Can't Stop the Rain and fucking, you know.
Seal.
Something
is.
Else. Exactly. Yeah. Kiss from a Rose by Seal, whatever. Just mail me my free coasters.
You were saying, back to yep. Over the James of Avail.
Yep. Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. That's a really good CD,
yeah,
too. Again, Beach Boys. You can't go wrong, regardless of what album nope. you pick of theirs. And self-titled, She Wants Revenge.
Yeah. Knowing Eric, and I've known Eric for a long time, he's very into British culture. He loves his Brits. So seeing, you know, The Who and The Beatles, I'm actually surprised that there wasn't more of that, but he loves old styly stuff. So his list doesn't surprise me too much.
All right.
I don't think I've ever listened to She Wants Revenge. So I wish I had some commentary on that. But The Who, picking a Who album's a bitch, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a huge number of groups, bands out there, meaning groups,
yeah.
that just have so many albums where it's the buckshot method. I've put out 50 albums, so odds are 30 of them are probably going to be pretty damn good.
Right,
so,
or at least there's going to be highlights every second album.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's... Looking at our list, looking at these lists, there's bands that I still could list that are like, couldn't pick off of them.
Yeah.
Like U2.
Yep.
What U2 band or REM? Like, which goes on forever.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. So thank you, Kibby and Eric, for joining us on this. We don't judge you too hard.
Yep. No, not at all. So going back to our lists
here. Do you want to take your next one? Or?
Yeah, I'll take another one because the rest of mine are kind of a little bizarre.
Not too bad. There's one in there. There's one in there that's bizarre. I think the other ones are knowing you are pretty standard.
I'm gonna go with the second one on my list
since I mentioned
Sgt. Pepper. This is kind of this band's Sgt. Pepper album.
Okay.
It's a concept album. There are a lot of rumors. You know, this was the soundtrack for a movie that never ended up getting filmed. I went with Kiss, Music from the Elder. I've been a huge Kiss fan, you know, ever since I was a kid. Very, very big into them when they were in their whole makeup phase. Mm-hmm. When they came out of the makeup phase and they kind of just became like every other glam rock band, they kind of lost a lot.
I was never drafted into the Kiss Army. So
oh, you weren't?
I don't have a lot on them.
Fair enough. I will pull rank.
Fair enough. Corporal Major, Star, Puppy, I don't know.
Music from the Elder is just... It's a concept album. Like I said, it's their Sgt. Pepper. They're telling a story throughout the entire album of, you know, it's a good versus evil, and good is recruiting, you know, the new kid on their side. And there's questions about whether he's good enough and whether he's loyal enough. And there's just a lot of great songs.
Is it all hard rocking?
No,
okay.
Not there's a lot of like ballad kind of stuff.
Sure,
there's
that's actually what
there's
I
a lot of power ballad, a lot of stadium rock kind of feel mm-hmm. to it. But like I is very kind of typical Kiss kind of stadium rock. The Oath, not so much at all. Just a Boy, not hard rock at all. Dark Light, more rockish, more stadium rockish. Only You, Under the Rose, just great stuff. World Without Heroes, very ballady. But it's again, if you listen to it, you take a shot and just listen to the whole album mm-hmm. straight through
right.
in one shot.
Concept albums, that's how you work it, yeah.
You'll hear the story being told through all these songs and the progression of it, and it's just an amazing album.
Well, I mean, I'll say, even just looking at the titles, these aren't the titles I would expect from Kiss.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's no Detroit Rock City, there's no, you know, We're Gonna Rock and Roll,
exactly.
Mr. Ice Cream Man, what other, yeah. You know.
But, like, I think if you go through and look at...
I mean, these are heavy metal
music
titles.
People's reviews. Like, if they review Kiss albums overall, this
sure.
one always kind of falls towards the bottom of the list. Because Kiss is kind of known for Detroit Rock City, Rock
yeah,
and Roll
yeah.
Night Party Every Day, Love Gun, you know,
yeah.
Slow Gin, kind of stuff like that. And then you get into stuff like this.
Where they tried.
And it was, yeah, like a very big departure from stuff that they had done in the past.
Okay.
Even when you take stuff like Beth into account. It was just a departure from stuff that they had been known for.
Beth, what can I do?
Yeah.
Beth, what can I do?
apparently anything at this point, because I don't think he's got a whole lot going on.
No,
right now.
Not so much.
Pretty sure Peter Criss's days are wide open.
Yep. He is not a busy man. on to, I guess I'll go with my next one on the list.
Okay.
And that's only just because it's the next one on the list. It's a band that most people don't know, and that's only because they were a one-hit wonder in the 90s. I had a very big, I still do have an alternative 90s phase. They had one hit, which, actually strike that, they had two. The one hit, which is on this album, is called Banditos, which the chorus, the joke of the chorus goes, everybody knows that the world is full of stupid people, so meet me at the mission at midnight, we'll get divvy up there.
Okay.
It's a fun song about bank robbers who go to the border with their winnings, and their cards say that they're Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Since the border guards don't speak English, they can get through the country, and then they have a gunfight.
Yeah.
The band is The Refreshments. The album is, and I always screw up, it's Fizzy, Fuzzy, Big, and Buzzy is the name of the album.
Okay.
They're from like Arizona. They're country westerny, alternative rock. I don't know. I've loved these. The minute I got this whole album, it was probably the first time that I got a 90s alternative-y album that era. And I was like, I can listen to this whole thing. Like, it's not just two tracks and then me going, fuck off.
Right, right.
Like, wow, you guys really just got paid for that song, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Like with Flagpole Sitta and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
The other song that you would know is they were the guys who did the theme song to the propane and propane accessories. The goddamn King of the Hill.
Oh, okay.
They did the theme track to King of the Hill. So the band only lasted one other album after this,
right.
And now they started another band, which is Roger Klein and the Peacemakers, which they play down. They're more or less a down the East Coast Southern sort of.
Gotcha.
They don't do a big thing now, but there are songs in here that are just brutal wonderful. They're very dry. There's a lot of sad drinking songs in here, but the fun ones are really really funny. You know about. Let me see, which one is it specifically? Blue Collar Suicide. You know, it's the chorus. The chorus goes, I can't sleep because she snores like a chainsaw. I can't eat because she can't cook. And she can't count how many pills I took. Like, it's
there you go.
Funny. Like, it's almost Southern country-ish, but
sure.
It's got a rock kick.
Very nice.
So, top to bottom, Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy.
Fizzy, there you go. And you got that. You got through that one with no hitch either.
Because I had to look at it though. I remember when I was trying to explain it to the first, like, it's big and fuzzy, fizz and fuzzy.
Frick a pass, quadum a passy.
Exactly, tassum a passy. Vija vita vejavada.
Oh, me and James Hatton's little ode to Peach Dragon.
And that's the Peach Dragon sequence.
Quadum a quassy, tassum a massy.
Passum a quad. That's the one. All right, jumping back to our Facebook friends.
Yeah, let's take a look at Adam over here.
Yep. Now, Adam, I met him recently at some conventions over the summer. He's on the low end of our age range. So
okay.
this is why we don't know who any of these people are.
Well,
no, I know.
I know one of them.
Exactly. I know too.
And I might not even know that song, but I recognize the band name. So, Adam, don't feel judged,
and
Adam.
And it's number three, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't feel judged, Adam. We're going to have to pass the torch eventually. So, we bring him in young.
Send him out loose.
Exactly. We got Evil Urges by My Morning Jacket.
I've heard of them. I don't know what. I couldn't tell you what they do.
Dive by Tycho. The one band we do recognize, Pretty Odd by Panic at the Disco. Okay, that's a group I've heard of before,
yep.
So good on you for coming up with something I'm familiar with. Rebel Era by Grizz, and Career Suicide by A Wilhelm Scream.
Which I love as a band name.
I was just going to say, you know what, if nothing else, the band name I'm okay with.
Yeah, it's a good band name. I'm sure all of these albums are representative of the form and style in which they've chosen.
I mean, you know what? People, there's only one person on this list who I knew through at least one song on there as a goof.
Okay.
But everything else, if they took the time to come up with these lists, obviously these songs
resonate
to them individually.
Sure.
So, you know, we're not going to fault anybody, just... You're, you know, not going to get stranded on my island, that's all.
Well, I wouldn't. You want to know what? I think out of all the people who are here, I think at least Adams is one that I'd be like, I'm going to experience a whole lot of new.
Oh, yeah. I'll visit Adams Desert Island.
You know,
I can't say I'd.
It's not somebody who put like five Nick Cave and the Bad Seed albums who it's like, I'm avoiding that island entirely. That how do they have black sand? They have black sand.
Let's look at what Bill has gone out on a bit of a limb here too, because he's got some soundtracks on this.
He does,
one.
And he did go with Greatest Hits. No problems there.
It's okay.
I gotta say though, his soundtracks they're fun ones. I don't know whether I could listen to number two forever. Number three is hit or miss for me too. Actually,
it's number two is a little rough. That one
let's start off with
he's got The Party by Free, the Lion King soundtrack. It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that I kind of switched back
and
forth.
By the way, it's Free by The Party. Just to, anyway.
Okay.
Just clarifying.
Oh, I see.
Yes, yes.
I see. It kind of read out here really oddly.
But yeah,
anyway,
Lion King soundtrack.
Between that one and the Aladdin soundtrack, kind of bounced back and forth in my car stereo for a good while.
And they're both good soundtracks. It's just that I don't think there's enough that it would hold me on for. I think after a couple years, one day I'll be king. I'll be king.
Or Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah, it's a great song. But yeah, eventually you're going to be lying there on the sand, eyes wide, just going, the circle of life! Just kind of reaching the end of your rope.
Yeah, that's the kind of song. Like, that's what I would expect when they save me. That song's Hakuna Matata, really? Huh. That's what you've been listening to for the last 10 years. Okay, see what we're dealing with here.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, once more with feeling. I'm not a Buffy fan.
I enjoy it. I have a couple tracks on.
But I believe, this was their all-musical episode. Is that what that was? Okay.
And there's songs in there that are actually very good. It's a very impressive episode. It was the first episode of that I saw that it was kind of my gateway drug to the show.
Right.
But there's a couple songs on there where, like, not all these guys can sing. I mean, a couple of them, they hide very well in the episode.
Sure.
Like, what's her face? Hottie McGee. The nerd girl.
Yeah. Allison Hannigan.
Thank you, Allison Hannigan. Would be great in summer.
Oh, my God.
They hide her inability to sing very well.
She didn't have to sing.
No, and she doesn't.
No.
And they make, like, she has one or two lines that are very clearly, like, she has to be in the scene.
Sure.
What's his name? James Marsden. Spike really doesn't have a great voice either. But he has his own song. So there's some weakness in that album.
All right.
I get why it's fun, though. There's some really funny things in there. Like,
sure.
The bit about the episode, I know before we go on a huge fucking Buffy tear, is that it's a plotted episode. Like, the reason they're all singing is part of the plot. There's a demon who makes them sing. So they're walking down the street, and everybody's inflicted with the same disease they have. So there's a guy going, they got the mustard out, as he's standing in front of the dry cleaners.
Sure.
You know? So there's, and those little snippets are also in the CD, which is fun.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Hit or miss, though.
I can see. But interesting concept for a TV episode.
It was like I think it was the first time that was ever done.
Yeah, I think so.
And now everybody does that.
Yeah, yeah. Lindsay Sterling.
Oh, so good. Have you ever listened to, she's violin. I don't know whether Lindsay Sterling would be fun without looking at Lindsay Sterling.
Oh, okay.
She is just a spry little pixie who runs around the woods.
Okay.
I'll show it to you at the end of the show.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
And Sweetbox Greatest Hits.
Okay.
So we did, we'd have somebody drift into the Greatest Hits vault, as it were. Again, nothing wrong with it.
No, if I could have picked for two of mine, if I could have picked their Greatest Hits over their, like, choosing an album, I definitely would have.
Yeah, yeah.
Queen being number one. Like,
yeah,
I really would have gone with Classic or Greatest, either one.
Yeah, yeah.
To the wall.
Back to the list. What do you got going on there, Hatton?
I'm going to go with this one next, because that last one's it's probably my favorite album of all time.
Okay.
So I was raised with Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Queen, Michael Jackson, and then my brother introduced me to, like, Metallica and metal.
Sure.
But I don't think there was an album by Michael Jackson that came out up until the one I had, Black and White.
Was right, it? Right, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't in my house. Wasn't played ad nauseum. Like, my sister had the 45s. So I picked Bad.
Okay.
Because that was the one I think I was old enough to kind of grasp onto and enjoy. And very specifically because I was re-looking at the track lists for that and Thriller. Had to fight between those two.
Yeah.
And the track list for Bad is... There's, I think the only song in there, I don't even remember how it goes, is Another Part of Me.
Right.
But every one of those I can pretty much sing backwards to forwards. And the secret track on here that nobody remembers is Dirty Diana. That song is
so fantastic song.
That song is so damn good.
That's a great... I don't even know how that's a secret track because that's an amazing song.
Do people remember that song? I
love that fucking song. Right. And I'm not like a huge Michael Jackson fanboy.
Yeah.
But... That's just a great song.
Oh, and that guitar. Oh,
yeah.
For the longest time, I thought it was Slash that was playing it.
Yeah, I thought it's not. I thought it was too.
Maybe it is. Maybe I got it backwards again. I do this a lot where it was, part of me wanted to believe it was a girl who's playing the guitar in the video.
Okay.
I might be wrong. It might be, in fact, Slash.
I honestly thought it was.
Well, we'll find out momentarily.
But I have known to been wrong about things before.
We've never been wrong on this show. Nope, it's not Slash.
Okay.
So, but yeah, you got Man in the Mirror, you got Bad, you have Smooth Criminal. Motherfucking Smooth Motherfucking Criminal.
Yeah.
Dirty Diana, Can't Stop Loving You, Man in the Mirror, Liberian Girl's alright. Like, that's probably the weak track. The Way You Make Me Feel, which had a video about, that was he was on a roller coaster and he was seeing all the tabloid pictures about him.
Yep.
But yeah, I used to just walk around my house singing Man in the Mirror. Like, I used to love that song. Just Can't Stop Loving You, which is, again, kind of a lighter one, but between Dirty Diana, Smooth Criminal, Man in the Mirror, and Bad, like, I probably would just circle those four tracks and then go, let's go deeper in the album after a year, you know?
Right.
But so Michael Jackson, Bad for me.
No, I'm with you on that. That's gonna be a good call.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having you on the other side of the aisle.
Fair enough.
With that album. So my next one, and again, this was one of those ones where I had this band penciled in, and I went through three or four different albums of theirs before I could finally settle on this one as being on there.
That would be a great greatest hits one too.
And it's Run DMC, Raising Hell. It was almost Tougher Than Leather. I look at these two albums kind of like El Mariachi and Desperado.
All right,
Desperado is kind of like the essence of El Mariachi with four times the budget.
Sure.
Tougher Than Leather, you can feel, is like the album they made when they were at their pinnacle.
Yeah.
And easily. Raising Hell was as they were still climbing that mountain to get to their peak. But, I mean, this is almost a greatest hits album in and of itself, if you look at the playlist of stuff that's on there.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up Tougher Than Leather tracks just to compare because... Ah, okay. Go ahead.
I mean, you've got Peter Piper, It's Tricky, My Adidas, Walk This Way, which is really kind of what put rap on the map.
Yeah,
on, like, MTV and pop culture. Because that huge crossover video they did with Aerosmith was, like, unheard of at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is It Live, Perfection, Hit It Run, Raising Hell. Just such a great set of songs on there that were very iconic to their era and to that band. Then you look on stuff, I mean, comparing it to Tougher Than Leather.
Yeah, I just jumped over to Tougher
Than
Leather.
Run's House, Mary Mary. Beats to the Rhyme radio station, Papa Crazy, Tougher Than Leather. I mean, one of my favorite scenes from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is when they're in the movies and they look outside and the back of the van blows open and the three hot chicks in leather bodysuits just drop right to the beginning of that song.
I gotta go. I'm looking at both of these albums. I don't know which one I'd pick.
I gotta tell you, it was really difficult. I had to go with this one because this was when I was still just getting into the whole rap music phase.
Sure.
You know, it was a lot of Run DMC, a lot of LL Cool J, a lot of stuff like that. And this one and LL Cool J, Walking with a Panther. No, I'm sorry, Bigger and Deafer were the first ones that I really started getting into and listening all the time.
When I realized that with rap, because I was trying to figure out, like, should I put a rap album on here? Is there a rap album I love so much? Like, maybe, I don't think I love the Martha Mathers LP enough. I don't think I love Straight Outta Compton enough. Like, I just, like, the only one I was, cause, like, maybe Body Count, but that's metal, and I wouldn't listen to it all the time. I had a problem with a rap album, so.
Yeah. The Martha Mathers Show was almost on there for me.
Yeah.
That was.
Those were some of the closest ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But I
remember when I was a kid, I had one of those little stereo systems. It was like the turntable up top, the AM/FM radio,
and the
two cassettes next to each other, all boxed up, big box speakers. And it was, I think it was WBLS, was doing a live simulcast of the Raising Hell tour from the Orlando Civic Center.
Okay.
And the Beastie Boys opened for Run DMC.
I didn't think of the Beastie Boys.
And I had like 5 cassette tapes that I'm just sitting there listening to it. I'm trying to record the whole concert. And then you're kind of watching for when that tape lead comes in. You got to hit stop, turn it over, and hit play and record again. You know, you're missing like 18 seconds of whatever it was they were saying and doing. But yeah, Run DMC, Raising Hell for me.
Good choice.
Good stuff.
It's an excellent choice for the one genre I felt that I was distinctly lacking in. And yeah, good work.
Well, there you go. You can trek on over to my side of the
island. Yeah, exactly.
If you want to listen to some Peter Piper.
I'll drop some beats with you.
There you go.
Because that's the whitest thing I could have said right there. All right, so we go back to the wall.
We do. We've got Cal, buddy of mine from the World of Warcraft days.
Okay.
Dio, Lock Up the Wolves. Holst, The Planets. Joni Mitchell. Is that Hejira?
Hejira.
Nine Inch Nails, The Fragile, and Paul Simon, The Rhythm of the Saints.
Got it. All right.
One of these things is not like the other.
No, there's a mix in there because Dio and Nine Inch Nails go together. I would argue that Simon and Mitchell go together.
Yeah, they probably do, yeah.
But The Fragile's my big, like... Huh. That's just not the Nine Inch Nails album I would have expected. Like, there's two other ones I would put ahead of that. It's just The Fragile's an interesting album to put in there because it wasn't, in no way, shape, or form, was commercially successful.
Right.
I just don't find it to be as strong. I don't think it to be that strong.
Playing devil's advocate.
Please.
And defending, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not arguing it.
Defending Cal's honor. I have music from The Elder. And you have The Game.
Fair
I'm
enough.
Sure any one of our listeners could go, wow, that's not the Kiss album I would have picked.
I would love to find out from Cal what he loved about that album. It's like when you find out that somebody who loves Tool, I didn't put a fucking Tool album on there, damn it. When you find somebody who loves Tool and they're like, yeah, I really love 10,000 Years. You're like, nobody loves 10,000 Years. Stop that.
Well, Cal, I believe the Friendly Gauntlet has been thrown.
It's not even Gauntlet. I would love to hear what you think about that album and
absolutely.
Why you chose The Fragile.
Yeah, throw it up on the page.
Because I love myself some Nine Inch Nails.
Tell us what it is about it
and,
that you liked.
I found a Year Zero, which is the newer one. I don't like his new band. But I found Year Zero to be really good, but The Fragile, it's literally the last one I would put.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to go with Ada. Who has actually...
She chose my counterpoint here.
Right, stated on here that that this is kind of almost like a living in the 80s kind of thing.
Sure.
Get a little bit stuck in the past with this. We've got Thriller by Michael Jackson, which if it was me, again, not being a huge Michael Jackson music file, it either would have been Thriller or Bad for me. Glass House's Billy Joel.
Billy Joel's another great one.
Great album. And again, another one of those things where, Christ, he's almost got too many albums for me to have to pick one.
Right.
So I'm going to take you off the list just because I got, you know, analysis paralysis.
And
if
I was to only go with guys who I could have greatest hits albums of, Billy Joel would probably be on there.
Oh, yeah. Lady of the Night by Donna Summer. Which, is that the one that has MacArthur Park on it?
Couldn't tell you.
We have to look that up, because if that does have MacArthur Park on there, then Ada's not going to be on the other half of my deserted island.
is MacArthur Park the one about the cake in the
Someone
rain?
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Without even trying, you sounded like Brack. It was Someone left my cake out in the rain.
American Idiot by Green Day and Born to Run by Springsteen.
American Idiot is my favorite Green Day album too, Ada.
She does have a caveat on here. That she would also like to have an album where possibly one of the songs would talk you through how to build a raft. Which, you know, not thinking outside the box. Yeah. That's Ada right there.
I told you, there's always somebody who tries
thinking
to game
outside
the system.
The box, gaming the system. No, gaming the system is going to be the next one.
She does not.
MacArthur Park is not on Lady of the Night. Okay, no. So you are safe.
Except that you are listening to a Donna Summer album for the next.
But I could be okay with that as long as it's not the, I don't think that I could take it because I took so long to bake it. Oof. And I'll never have that recipe again. It doesn't. I had a conversation with this with my friend, you know, with a buddy of mine. I'm like, did she write the recipe on the cake in frosting? So when it was left out in the rain, everything just went.
Now the cake's all soggy and I don't want it.
Don't let the door hit you when you're stupid.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Oh, I see the joke ones you're talking about.
Yes, so now.
Let's go with him and then we'll do our final.
Okay, we'll wrap it up with us. And then I'll throw the swerve
phase
out for
two.
You. There you go. We've got my buddy Josh. Josh, kind of gave us a little bit of insight into each one of these as to the hows and whys. His number one and number two albums, The Beatles' Revolver and Wu-Tang Clan 36 Chambers. Only two albums that I actually like, and they should be as different as possible.
I appreciate the mindset there.
Absolutely, yeah. We can't just pigeonhole ourselves into one genre or one type. I'm okay with that.
I see the narrative he built here.
He's got the Star Wars score for when he loses his mind, and he will lose his mind. Hearing the Imperial theme, Imperial Attack, while hunting or gathering for food will be very fitting. This one kind of killed me. Anything by One Direction or Justin Bieber, just so being stranded on a desert island won't be the worst part of my life, having one of these albums in my five would surely be the worst thing to happen to me. It'll serve a purpose of making sure I don't get sick of the two albums I actually like. I won't mind hearing Eleanor Rigby for the 1,000th time if the alternative is Baby, Baby, Baby. He's got a fair enough point. And this one killed me, the Castaway soundtrack, because wasting an album choice on a stupid joke that'll get old in 2 minutes is just something I'd do. Listeners, I know this guy. He's right. It is absolutely something that he would do.
Just so he could say, like, what albums you had. Ironically, Castaway soundtrack.
Exactly. Great. Just so the first person to come and rescue him would find a CD collection and go, huh.
Ain't that a thing?
Who'd have thunk? What are the odds? Well, 1-to-1, in all honesty.
I actually want to see what's on the Castaway soundtrack list.
Wilson! There's not a song called Wilson on there. That's it.
It's just the sound of a volleyball splashing in water. It doesn't even have... Oh, it's all just background music.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, Run, Rudolph, Run. Oh, it's a lot of Christmas music.
Wow. Oh, well, because he was the FedEx guy around the holiday season, so.
Elvis Presley's Return to Sender, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Elvis's Blue Christmas, Sleigh Ride, Run, Rudolph, Run by Chuck Berry. Yeah. It's, whew, enjoy that.
That joke didn't even take 2 minutes.
Yeah, no. You got stuck with some Christmas bullshit there, sir.
Yeah. Well, sir. I'm not actually going to listen to it. It's just there for the irony. All right, which brings us to
our last one,
our fifth and finals.
Now, I left mine for last because this is like my favorite album of all time. I can listen to this album from beginning to end. And it's a weird one because most people hear the band Extreme and they're like, the hair guys? Like, you mean the more than words sappy motherfuckers?
Right.
Yeah, no, it's Extreme's Three Sides to Every Story. Have you ever listened to this album?
No.
Okay, it only had like one hit off of it, and I think Extreme only had like two hits ever, so... The cool bit about this album is that the track list is broken into effectively three albums. There's His Side, Her Side, and The Truth, which is silly and cliche, except for the Truth section of the album, which is the last three tracks. I believe it's... I'll read them off real quick. Yeah, it's... they're even listed. Everything Under the Sun, Rise and Shine. Everything Under the Sun, Am I Ever Gonna Change? And Everything Under the Sun, Who Cares? Because it starts off, like, the whole album goes quiet. It's got some metal in there, hard stuff. And Nunu Betancourt is, like, one of my favorite musicians of all time. And this music box starts with this little tune, this deet, 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 deet. And you're like, what? That's odd. And the song goes up,
Right.
You get through the first song, and it leads right into the second, leads right into third, and then the last 30 seconds is a round of the choruses of all three tracks. It's about 20 minutes of, like, music power.
Wow.
And there's a full narrative in there from beginning to end. It was probably the first time I ever had an album make me stop, go, did I just motherfucking hear what I thought I heard? I have to listen to it again. I listen to it again.
Oh, cool.
And to this day, I'm having a bad day, I will still go and, like, throw in even just those last three tracks. There's a little bit of political silliness in the album itself. But Everything Under the Sun, 1, 2, and 3, tracks 12, 13, 14. I know you can find them just on YouTube, just those three tracks.
Oh, okay.
Highly recommend it. It is probably one of my most favoriteest thing ever done with music.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So there you go. That's extreme three sides to every story.
All right. I also went with an odd one. And when we came up with this concept that we were going to do our five Desert Island albums, mm-hmm. I immediately knew, well, I need to come up with four. Because I knew what the fifth one was going to be.
Okay.
And it makes it a little difficult to make it a Desert Island episode, or a Desert Island album episode, because the only way you can get this is through their website. It's okay. Downloadable content only now. It used to be out on cassette, which is where I got my first taste of it. I know I have a couple friends who are listening who may have an inkling as to what I'm getting into here.
Mm-hmm.
The album is called Destroyer, and the band is called The Goatmen.
Yeah, I had never heard. I was like, and I don't know who these guys are.
They were your typical semi-hardworking bar band in northern New Jersey. In, I want to say, like, the 80s, like, mid-80s kind of thing,
okay,
maybe
says,
early 80s.
Yeah, early 90s even, the original 93 cassette, so.
Okay.
A cassette only release, maybe they had it earlier, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going off.
But I think they only printed, like, 2,000 cassettes, if that.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine had gotten a hold of one. I don't want to call them a comedy band, but they're silly.
Sure.
You know, while we listened to two songs,
and I will
just
say
before,
they reminded me of there's quite a few other bands that I was like, okay, there's a little violent femmes in there and their weirdness. There's
right,
a little
right.
Who's the other band? Dead Kennedys. Dead Milkmen.
Dead Milkmen.
You know, those were the things that, like, resonated immediately.
Right, right. Different Gerbil, just to give you an idea of a song name. They have a song called Last Train to Clarksville. Which
that one floored me. It was pretty fun,
yeah,
funny.
It's usually the one I will let anybody listen to, because it usually, the first thing that crosses their mind is a look of, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly.
And then the second time the thing happens is when just the outright laughter kicks
yeah.
in, because you just can't control yourself. They actually do a cover of Kiss's God of Thunder, but when you hear the guy's voice and realize that it's him and an acoustic guitar doing God of Thunder by mm-hmm. Gene Simmons. It's very funny. But it's one of these albums where literally I could hotwire this into the radio of my car and have that be the only music my car would ever play ever.
And you'd be all right?
I would be okay with
it. Okay. Because I thought about a couple. I was trying to figure out whether there was any comedy I'd want to put on my set list. And to which at the end it was like, no, there's no one, like, Weird Al Yankovic album. And you mentioned this when we were prior to Tenacious D. Like, there was nothing I thought that was funny enough that would last for me forever.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a big Weird Al fan too,
yeah.
So it's rough, you know. Like I said, we had a little conversation before we started recording. It was very easy for me to come up with 10 albums.
Mm-hmm.
It was really difficult for me to whittle that 10 down to 5.
Because I have favorite songs,
right,
that are on albums I like but don't love.
Right, right.
Like, there are songs that I love more than I like Michael Jackson's Bad.
Sure.
But overall, just looking at it from an album perspective, I like the album overall better than I like
right.
that album that has that one song that I fucking worship.
Well, so. and that's my argument, too. You know, I'm thinking Tenacious D. Okay, great. Tenacious D. Like, there are songs on there that are killer.
Yeah.
But I think the 10th time I listen
to Kielbasa Sausages?
I listen to Two Kings.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, the stage show that they put on with it, I'd just be, if I got to fast forward past a song on your album, you know, on day two of being stranded, you're not the album I should have brought
right.
with me. You know, Sublime, same thing. There's just one or two songs on there where it's like, you know, sure, I could listen to them in one sitting if I'm listening to the album. But then if you made me listen to that whole album again and again, there'd be stuff I'd be skipping over. And it's just rough. It's very difficult.
And to the same extent, I mean, there's a lot of, even as we were sitting here talking, there's bands that I thought of that, like, I didn't even consider for my list. That maybe I should, like, Queensryche was missed, Tool was missed.
Right, right.
And I love Tool. And you can, what I love about Tool is you can listen to Tool and just start to analyze and overanalyze, because Maynard is he's a psychopath when it comes to putting weird shit that means stuff. I mean, there's one song I know you can take the song and, like, cut out half of it, play the song at half speed over top the original song, and it still works. And,
right, right.
Like, weird mathematical craziness. So it's as definitive as it could possibly be with what we got.
There you go. So now the swerve.
All right, here we go. We were dead the whole time.
You, me.
I've always waited for this.
And every listener that responded.
Okay.
Are all stranded on the same island.
All right.
With our collective CD collections.
All right.
Based on the musical choices that we have all brought with us and are now stranded on this desert island for the foreseeable future to possibly all eternity, who becomes Piggy? Who do we push off a cliff onto a giant rock based on the music that they've brought to the party?
Oh, shit. That's excellent. That is wonderful. That is a wonderful twist. And as you started, I'm like, he's going Lord of the Flies. So the question really becomes, like, I think the easy one to say is Josh, because he has such, like, Beatles and Wu-Tang is all right, but then the rest of that, you're like, God damn it, sir. But I think that's the low ball. To pick people that had, like, a full-on reasonable list. Ugh, that's rough. I go two ways. So let me hear what...
Do you now?
Oh, stop it. Watch it there, guy.
Really?
Because I could go like the Adam and just go, I fear change. It's just, you bring new things. You bring fire.
Thank you, Garth.
Yeah. I fear change.
We fear change.
Or I could... For as much as I like some, no, actually, there's nothing on her album. There's nothing on her list I 100% like love. There's only two I would deal with. It's Kibbe's list.
Really?
Yeah.
Kibbe gets thrown off the cliff.
Yeah. If I wasn't to go for the I feel change,
Kibbe's music gets thrown off the cliff. No, Let's not say that we're actually throwing listeners off the cliff.
That's fine.
But yeah, that Kibbe's. Kibbe wakes up one morning and suddenly her CD collection is empty and everybody has new coasters and nobody knows why. Fair enough.
So who would be yours?
I have to, it is really rough because having not listened to anything that Adam has listed.
Right. And that's why I almost want to give him a pass just because I might really like it. I might like new things.
Maybe. See, I like the stuff that Josh has that's actual music.
Yeah, those two albums are great.
Well, even the Star Wars soundtrack I could be okay with.
Need shit to do.
Yeah, Cal's got stuff. I mean, I'm not really like, you know, a Nine Inch Nails or Dio fan, but I know I don't have an aversion to them.
Sure.
You know, so...
I enjoy laughing at Dio.
Right, right. Man, this is kind of rough. I should have thought about this before I said
it. Yeah, well, hoist it on your own Picard there, Kirk, ain't you?
I was about to correct you until I saw what you did there. Yeah, I'm going to have to, you know what? I'm going to have to fear change. I'm going to have to go with Adam. And, you know, it's nothing personal. It's one of those things where everybody else's albums, you got to think of it that way. If you look at what everybody else has brought to the table, we get rid of those five albums.
Yeah.
That's still a good, decent chunk of music.
It's the Empire Records.
Filtering through.
It's the Empire Records thing. When it's Oh, God, this is what you stole? Rap, metal.
Exactly.
Metal. Whitney Houston.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Because you want to know the thing about Adams is that I sit there and I go, you know, we might like it. There's a better chance that we won't.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see the good in everything, and I'm sure there might even be a track on there that I'll go, yeah, like over time.
Sure.
I might listen to it on first blush and go, yeah, you know what, this is just completely not my thing. But 2-3 weeks from now, after hearing a song over and over again, you might suddenly start singing along with it and realizing, hey, you know what, this is kind of catchy, but I don't foresee that happening with the entire album.
And
I can't. I know myself. And I can't bring myself to admit that.
His nickname on Facebook is Electro House, so we can only assume, unless he just says that ironically, that one of those albums is... Steve. What? I don't... Did you just say Steve?
Steve. I will say, you know, nobody put a Skrillex album or anything
that's
on there.
Fair.
So, yeah, exactly. So, thank you. At least we are...
Ding, 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 ding.
We are definitely attracting the right type of people to listen to this podcast.
And only one person said Bieber or One Direction, and they were being assholes.
That was in a joke.
Yeah.
So, excellent. Yeah. So, that's the Desert Island podcast episode.
I can't wait to have to... I look right now. We call it being nice to your future self, being good to... This is how I refer to, like, I'm going to do this now because I'm going to be good to my future self, so I don't have to do it later.
Okay.
Like, right now, future Jamie is like, I can't fucking believe he said that he put those song beds underneath this show. God damn it. Because I'm adding all that music in. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed and maybe heard some stuff you weren't expecting or maybe remembered something you've never heard before.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me thank you on the Facebook.
I've had some friends of mine that have been longtime friends but new kind of listeners to the show.
Sure.
And I told them the biggest bit of enjoyment that I'm getting out of this not only is the people actually responding to some of our posts and answering questions and putting up comments on the forum boards and everything like that, but when people either send me emails or Facebook messages and say, you know what, you guys talked about this TV show or this movie, and I'd never had any interest in watching it, and then you guys did like an hour and a half episode on it, and I went, huh, and I pulled it up on my Netflix or my Hulu, and I was like, holy crap, this show is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Or, this show is fucking terrible, what were you guys thinking? But it's making people kind of expand their horizons a little bit, and whether they love it or hate it, that's kind of okay, too. So
we're at least exposing people.
Exactly. So we want, you know, we want to thank Adam for coming to our desert island, because if it wasn't for Adam,
we wouldn't have a pair of glasses to light a fire.
I may have to throw my 5 albums out, and I don't want to do that. Really? So, you know, we're at least making people test the waters with new stuff.
Excellent.
It's not that we fear change; we just don't like it. That's
we don't fear change. It's that it's bad.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Very good.
And on that note.
So without further ado, you can find us at a bunch of places on the internet.
So many places.
First off, the Facebook, which you're probably on the Facebook if you're listening.
Yep. Facebook.com/somethingsomethingcast. The website, which is somethingcast.com. The Twitter, which is STSTcast. The email address, somethingsomethingcast@gmail.com.
I just relent to you. You remember this shit so much better than I do now.
Well, because I'm the one that checks it.
That's fair. I'm the one who says he's going
to
check
it. You don't even listen to the podcast when we're done recording it.
You're damn right I don't. I can't stand the way I listen. Or the way I sound.
But
that having been said, I think that's it. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we've got a couple things that we're working on the docket, just to give you a little taste of what might be coming down the pipe over the next couple episodes. We're talking about villains. TV villains, movie villains.
I'm so looking forward to this episode.
We're going to do what we're going to call our new Who review. Basically anything that's, you know, if you're on the Netflix, anything basically from 9 up until current.
New Who review is worded specifically because, not for nothing, neither of us want to watch a lot of, like, 1960s robots trying to climb stairs.
And there's nothing against all all the Pertwee fans and all the Tom Baker fans and everything else, but we're just focusing on the stuff that a majority of the people will have seen, and the majority of the listeners who have seen. And we're looking at having maybe a guest or two on that one. We might actually have the big 4-person panel.
Yeah, it might be fun. It's going to be
and we're also for the Who review.
And I know you talked about it with me earlier, and we've discussed it more than once. The hope is that come comic book time.
Yep.
We're going to try and get ourselves into a comic book, our friend's comic book store, and see whether we can do some comic book
WildPigComics.com.
Very good.
Yep. Do some comic book shows. Maybe when the big summer blockbusters come around.
Yeah, yeah.
Do one for the Avengers 2 or Guardians or something like that. The iTunes thing is nearing its completion.
It's getting closer. It's actually happening. I had to go and I had to revamp all of the RSS thing. Did work.
Shock. Right now, James Hatton and I and the podcast are the knights standing guard outside the castle, and iTunes is John Cleese running towards us across the field. It doesn't look like it's getting any closer, but at any moment, he's going to be on us.
And also, since this is the beginning of the year, this is the first show for 2014, if there's any ideas for shows that you guys might have that we might not have thought of, I mean, we have a list of ideas for shows, but it's not going to last forever. Like, we come up with them and we add them, but eventually we're going to be like, shit, we have to do best choose your own adventure novels. Like, what do you want? So if you have ideas for things that we might be part of, things you've heard us talk about that we haven't ever addressed again, let us know. We'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit us up on the Facebook. Hit us up on the Twitter. Hit us up on the forums of the website.
Yeah, the comment section.
The email, anything. Just say, hey, here's an idea for a show.
So with that said, I am James Hatton.
I am Podcast Rob.
And have a wonderful new year. We will see you guys in a couple weeks.
Later.
Bye.
Stop it! Somebody!